kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Becoming aware of how God speaks to us, how he reveals things to us, what it is that causes us to go on and walk in faith. And I found myself looking at God, who is light, who is the light of the world, because this world is in darkness, or it is a counterfeit light that the world experiences and sees. And we know that Jesus is the light to this world. And we're going to call our teaching today, Our Healing and Deliverance is Seeing His Light. Our Healing and Deliverance is Seeing His Light. And I want to start this off in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So he says that not only are we called to be a royal priesthood, but this calling is to bring us out of darkness into light. He calls it marvelous light. This is unique. It is different. It's not like the light in this world. And he says, you once were not a people, but now the people of God. So he's made us a people of him. He has created that. He has done that through his Son, through being the light of the world, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So this light that is so essential, enables us to be able to not only see, but draw from the mercy of God. But it opens up saying quite clearly here that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. In other words, you have been chosen in such a time to be part of his priesthood. I'm reminded of the opening in the book of Revelation in chapter 1. And if we look at verse 6, in the introduction of where Christ stands amongst the churches, listen to what he says here in Revelation 1 and verse 6, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory, dominion forever and ever. And this is what he has made us. He has placed us in these positions of authority. That's what he has given to us. And not only are we kings and priests to God and Father, but it is for the glory and dominion that he has given us, which will be with him forever and ever. So he says he's made us also to be priests. And we go back to what is said here in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Now, do you have any understanding of what this means? Well, maybe we need to just go over this and recap a little bit just to understand the position that God has made us in the house of God, His church. And we've got to remember that until the law was given through Moses, the head of each family was the family priest up until the law was given. When the law was given, established to Israel through Moses, he said, then you will be a kingdom of priests. So God had then moved the priesthood from the head of the family now to a nation that he had called out unto himself. They now are as a nation to be a kingdom of priests. However, but because of unbelief and sin, sadly God had to shut this up from them. And we see in the Old Testament that God then gave the priesthood to the tribe of Levi. And they were the ones in which were to minister to Israel. So note that this priesthood that God's people are to be is handed from one situation to another. Now, when we come to the church age, which we're now in at present, all Christians are constituted as kingdom of priests. And we've just read that to you there in Revelation 1, verse 6, priests and kings. Why is this? Because this is part of our birthright that is given to us through Jesus Christ, what he has now given to the church. We now have complete access to God through what Christ has achieved, that we can now come into his presence. In other words, we can come as a royal priesthood and we can have access into his presence. Remember that under the law of Moses, only the high priest could go once a year who had access into the holies of holies in which to offer the blood of the sacrifice onto the mercy seat. That was the only time any human being was given access into the holy presence of God, which God's presence was there in the ark. Make no bones about it. When we come over to the new covenant that Jesus has achieved and given to us, we see the veil was torn, wasn't it? Rent from top to bottom. Now access into the holies of holies through Christ's human body. His body was broken for us at Calvary. And that is what it means by his body being broken, his blood being shed. That means now we have access as his royal priesthood into the presence of God. This could, of course, only be achieved as Christ is now the high priest. In actual fact, Christ's high priest ministry, remembering, of course, he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. We see his priesthood when he appeared as Melchizedek. That was the pre-incarnate Christ revealing himself as the priest, the high priest. And here now Christ has given us this access through the giving up of his body being broken, the veil now rent in two, we now can go into his presence and we have access to God and God alone through Jesus Christ. Look how the revelation of this, the working of this, right through from the saints that were called Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, each of them were to be the high priest, the eldest of the family, then given to Israel. Israel's sin, then handed over to the tribe of Levi, and then Christ himself. Look how God has preserved this royal priesthood, this priesthood ministry. And so we now have access into the holies of holies, where God dwells, which only the high priest could go in once a year. So what do we glean from all of this then? What does he mean by the fact that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light? What exactly is our function? I'm convinced that so little of this is taught in churches today. And you know why? Because we have a priesthood who lords it over the flock. And so you have the clergy and laity, which isn't scriptural. It's what man has done by organizing, making the church into a denomination. So there's little understanding of what this ministry is about. I'm not sure even in FGA we fully understand what this is about. And this is why God is bringing this up, because we have to walk in the light to be able to see. And that's why we're talking about God's light today. So what is this priestly ministry that we're called to? Well, the first thing, the priestly ministry, is that we present ourselves back to God as a living sacrifice. Romans 12, verse 1. After your salvation, born again, filled with the Spirit is going to call you to offer yourself back to him. Priests were offered to God. They were anointed, set apart for ministry. And so that's one of the first requirements that we do, is to offer ourselves back as a living sacrifice. This is why we have been teaching the deeper life in the Spirit for all these years, because the deeper life in the Spirit is about a priesthood, the royal priesthood, what you are set apart for. It's not just to play at church or just to come to meetings or whatever it is. It's far more than that. And hopefully, as God shines his light today on this word, when he gives us the revelation and illumination in which to understand this, we're going to go away today having learnt something, what we're also called for. You see, we know as priests, we offer up. The Old Testament priesthood offered up sacrifice. And so that is our sacrifice, our body, living body, we place on the altar now. Romans 12, verse 1. Then we know also that this priesthood, this royal priesthood, is to offer up praises to God with thanksgiving. That is why it is so essential when we come together, we worship, we praise, we thank him. That is what a priesthood does. It doesn't matter whether you feel like it or not. It's a sacrifice of praise. That is what we do as a royal priesthood. And also a priesthood communes with God. What is communing with God? It's offering up prayers and intercessions. And what do we do with those prayers? We place them on the mercy seat of God. You have been given access. You have been called to be a royal priesthood. You have been given authority in your inheritance to offer your prayers up on the mercy seat of God. God says he will hear the prayer of a righteous man, for it avails much. He will hear the prayer of faith. Why? Because it goes on the mercy seat of God, where the blood was sprinkled for forgiveness under the old covenant. That is why you stay with prayer. Sometimes you press in with prayer, or you keep knocking at the door. That's why God said, my house is a house of prayer. And therefore you can pray for your loved ones. You can pray for your neighbor. You can pray for those that despitefully use you, that God will have mercy on them. Those prayers and supplications are going to the mercy seat of God. That is what priesthood does. And then the priesthood is set apart for this service. And it's called the anointing. You have been set apart, anointed for this priesthood, a royal priesthood. It's not just to the minister, the fivefold ministry. It's also the believers are anointed and set apart for this service as well. And what is this service and being set apart? To do good, to trust him, obey him, to believe that by the fruit you shall know them. That is what we're set apart for. That is how the world will know that we walk with him. And all of this, I've stressed this for a reason, because all of this is about light and is about and should be seen. And you should be seen both individually and corporately as a church. This is why I say never limit wherever God leads you and guides you. You are light in every situation in this world of darkness. And that's why the devil tries to attack us and stop us, or stop us from saying things or whatever it is. Because you are light. You are a royal priesthood. Now, hopefully this will give you confidence and a boldness to know that God is leading and guiding, and that he doesn't make a mistake with us. What a blessing, what an authority that God has placed on us. That's why he says, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Why is it we still don't fully understand? Because we're not experiencing the light. And we have to. He is the light of the world. And that's why we thank the Lord for this light. What did the Apostle Paul have to say in Acts? Verse 26, chapter 26 and verse 18. Here is where Paul, he recounts his conversion on the road to Damascus. And here in verse 18, he says, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So he knew what his calling and ministry was, that the light that he walked in, they will see that light also. that through that light they will receive forgiveness. And that is what you are called to and for as well. The light that is upon you, you are now that royal priesthood. You can pray forgiveness of sins, mercy over those that God burdens you to pray. The same as Jesus, the high priest. What were his last words on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was reminding his Father of his inheritance, his authority. We still don't believe it, because we listen too much to the world and the enemy and not the word of God. There is a harvest to be reaped before Jesus comes. And he's entrusted the overcomers with this, with their prayers and supplications, their faith. A priest knows something about the mercy seat of God. And you know how they know? Because they know that they have received mercy and have been forgiven much. They've experienced it. The Apostle Paul, exactly the same. Butchering Christians, persecuting the church. It changed him when the mercy of God got hold of him. And he says, my ministry is that their eyes will be open and turn from darkness. Your ministry is that their eyes may be open and turn from darkness. What are we doing about it? That's the question. And God has given you the power of prayer and intercession to take all of this before him in prayer. This is why the word of God does not stop when you just listen to this. It continues by you taking what you hear and going before your Father in your closet and praying this through in your life. Else there's no change. You're just hearers, but not doers of the word. And that's why, you see, we praise and thank the Lord that all of this is a continual work. He's healing, he's delivering us. This is what he's doing tonight, today, this moment. This is why we're calling this teaching our healing and deliverance is seeing the light. God showing us light. And as we're seeing this, this is giving us healing and deliverance. And that's why we pray it through. And we go before our Father on that which we hear and learn. Why do I stress this? Because this is bringing out the darkness that still can be in us. And bringing us into his light. Jesus walked 24/7 in his Father's light. And we're called to do the same. It's no different. That is what a royal priesthood does. And the word of God is like that switch that turns on the light. And suddenly you see. How do we know this? Because Psalm 119 and verse 105 tells us this. Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's what it does. And that is what it's doing, you see. You see, when you begin to see, you have to seek God. And I said about this healing and deliverance. A lot of this healing and deliverance is coming before the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. I haven't seen as I should be. I have walked for years in this walk. I should have grasped this by now, but I haven't. Have mercy on me. That's what it should do. As God challenges us, that's a sign he loves us when he challenges us in this way. And you see, then he begins to show the seriousness of what he reveals when he begins to show that light. He shines his light upon a situation. And then we begin to thank the Lord and praise him. For example, in Proverbs 6 and verse 23. Proverbs 6 and verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. Reproofs of instructions are the way of life. And so it goes on. So it says the commandment is a lamp. What's a lamp for? To be able to see. And the law, a light. There we are. It's constantly through the word of God, all of this all the time. And this principle, by the way, works with whatever God is lightening. Whatever he's lightening up. Whatever he's revealing, whatever he's showing or teaching or exposing on. And we know today he's talking about 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, being a royal priesthood. His light shining on that today, brothers and sisters, for a reason. And then when that light shines and we have been taught by the anointing, we come before God and we wait on him as he begins to work and he begins to establish our hearts and he begins to bring us yet more into the experience of our priestly ministry. That's how he does it, you see. And those that don't grow in the Lord is because they don't do anything with the word that they hear. They're just hearers, but not doers of the word. And it's very important. What does he tell us in Psalm 19 and verses 7 to 11? Psalm 19, verses 7 to 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. We hear that song often played with those words. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And so it goes on, you see. You see, the nature of God's light is good for us. There's nothing wrong with this. You don't have to run away from this light. It may be challenging, it may be exposing, you may not like what you're seeing, you may not like what's being exposed in the heart, but never run away. It's good. And we know this if we look at Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 7, Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 7, truly, the light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. So he's talking about this, the light is good, it's pleasant. Natural light, we like light, we like it when summer starts to come. We can feel different because we go into the light. We see it's warm. It builds us up with vitamin D. Well, how much more with the light of God? Never ever run away from it. As much as that light is exposing, just praise God. That is a clear sign you are a royal priesthood. And he's washing you. He's clothing you. He's using you for your office, your calling. That's why. Don't believe the devil's lies. Let's look also in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 11. 7 and verse 11 of Ecclesiastes. Wisdom is good with an inheritance and profitable to those who see the sun. And there we are. He wants us to apply wisdom, understanding with all of this. It always speaks about it being positive and not negative, which the enemy wants to try and tell us. And of course, if we turn now to the Gospel of John chapter 1, the great chapter of Christ being the light to the world, what do we see in verse 4 of John chapter 1 and verse 4? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. There we are. And that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So this light that is so great, so powerful, shines in darkness. That darkness, of course, is the god of this world, Satan, who blinds the eyes. God's light is infinitely greater. Make no bones about it. And that's why you see, if you still have an attraction for darkness, then you're still in the world. You're still attracted to the world, because this light is to deliver us from the world and those temptations and so on. As it says in John 3, verses 19 to 21, John 3 and verses 19 to 21, we just let these scriptures speak to us. And this is the confidence that the light has come into the world, that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, and that they have been done in God. Well, there are two things that speak to me. The first thing is, if you have received the light, you are a royal priesthood. There is something within you that cannot keep going back, practicing going back into darkness. We might go back into darkness, but there is something within you that rises up. No, I have been called to live and walk in the light, not in darkness. And we begin to do something about it. And we begin to seek God. That is the first thing he says there in verse 20. And then in verse 21, what does he say here? But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen. There's the deeper deliverance. There is your healing. There is where God exposes at the right time, when you're ready, those things that still displease him. He says that his deeds may be clearly seen. You need the light of God to clearly see what God is delivering you from. You may have an inkling, and that's why we walk with God, we wait on God each day, we keep coming, we keep listening to the word, and then you will clearly see in that right time when he sees you are ready to get that healing and deliverance. Isn't that the mercy of God? How gentle and loving our Heavenly Father is toward us. But we should always remember that the word, our fellowship, our coming together should constantly challenge in order for the fact that we cannot hide. He doesn't want us hiding. As I have said many times, and I have put this into practice, when I have missed the mark, I have fallen short, I try and defy everything within me that wants to run away. I just say, Lord, I run to you even closer. And somehow it happens. Why? Because it's my confession, it's my belief, it's my desire, my want. If you've fallen short of the standard, or there's besetting sins you're still battling with, run to him. That's why he says, come to me, all that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. One word, come. Doesn't matter how you feel. Doesn't matter how it looks. Doesn't matter what people might say. Whatever, just run to his presence and remain there and let him work. What grieves him more than anything is when we run away and we go back into the world, into darkness. We are doing exactly what Adam and Eve did when they partook of that fruit. They hid themselves from God. That grieved him. How much do we do that? When he has provided everything for us to have a continual daily fellowship and walk with him. Hallelujah. And finally, let's look at John 6, chapter 6, verses 60 to 71. John 6, 60 to 71. And here we see what darkness does if you don't deal with it, if you don't recognize it. And did you know that Jesus had many disciples that walked with him? Not just the 12. In fact, he was left with 11. He had many who walked with him. And Lord, it says here in verse 60, therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? See, they're not understanding. Why aren't they understanding? Because they're not receiving the light in which to understand. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. This is why he speaks to us spiritually, because spiritually that is the light. That there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Look how much they are in darkness. They heard him say in verse 65, therefore, I said to you that no one can come to me unless it hath been granted to him by my Father. They heard that. Now, you would have thought, well, that's scary. I can't respond unless God has called me from the foundation of the world. And you would have thought what would come out of their mouth, Lord, have mercy on me. Father, that is terrifying. Don't give me up. Did they say anything like that? Not at all. From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked with him no more. They didn't hear it. Why? Because the light was not shining. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" Now listen to the difference. But Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" They knew they had gone thus far with him. There was no turning back. We've got nowhere to go to. And that's what God is doing with you and me. Getting you to a place where you've got nowhere to go to except going forward. All the while you think you've got somewhere to go back for security, you haven't understood yet. You have the words of eternal life. They're confessing his deity there. Also, we come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil?" There you go. So he said, out of the 12 that are left with me, he said, there's one of them can't hear this. And we know, of course, who that was, Judas. We are given every opportunity by the mercy and grace of God to embrace this truth, because he is the light of the world. And that's why the best possible state to be in as a Christian, a royal priesthood, is to simply believe, I am passing through. This is not my life. My roots are not down in this world. I am with God in eternity. That is what he's doing with us. So there we are. Our healing and deliverance is seeing his light. I believe the Lord has been doing some healing and deliverance tonight. And that's what our loving, heavenly, merciful Father does. Praise God.
Let him in constancy follow.